But anyway, you get the point. Words. See, what Jesus taught here in Matthew chapter 5, if people take his words to heart, they'll become like the wise woman who built her house. All you have to do is make a few adjustments. You can get, Jesus didn't restrict you on what you can have, but do it the right way. You don't have to, and if you work as unto God, you can, you know, if you trust the Lord, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything you desire will be added, the things you need will be added, and some of the things you desire will be added. Now, if you really want to do it, start working for the Lord. Sowing into ministries that's doing the will of God and learning and seek to be a blessing to others. And accelerations will come. Blessings will come in that order. Get in order with the word. Your words add up. And your life is going to reflect whatever you've been speaking. Now, I don't like picking on women, but this is something I've seen. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I'll end with this. When parents buy children everything they want and don't require them to work and earn anything, they can't appreciate it. You can go and buy them a $30,000 car. They don't know what it costs. They don't know that they don't feel the pain of work and patience and saving and budgeting. They just got a car. Hey, good for me. I don't like the color. I heard about a guy, he bought his son a car. Focus or something. Brand new car. I don't want that. I want a Mustang. Now, to get a brand new car, instead of saying, hey, this ain't what I buy myself, but I appreciate it. This will help me get through college. And you, no, I don't even want it. Don't bring it home. I want a Mustang. My dad bought me a car I didn't want, but I was thankful for it. I didn't want a Ford Maverick. I wanted a Dodge Charger with a 340 Magnum. And I didn't want him to buy it. I wanted him to sign so I could buy it. But he wanted me to live, so he came home with a six-cylinder powder blue Maverick with hubcaps on it. And I thanked God for that car. I thanked him for it, and I took care of it. And I drove it. It got me through school. And I even sold it to a guy. I gave it away. After I've driven it, started a business, I gave the car to another guy to help him. And I gave away about five cars in my lifetime. Now, and it was running good when I gave it away. It wasn't junk. It needed painting, but it was in good shape. But nevertheless, God loves us. Be thankful for what we have. And then, you live a life that he can bless. When you got a spouse that love you and cook for you and help raise the children and, you know, be a blessing, but be reasonable. My goodness, don't be a child. Don't be like a spoiled brat child. Be like a dear son or a dear daughter that appreciates you. And, you know, sometimes our parents do things for us and we don't even say thank you. And then when you get married and your spouse do things that's good, you forget to say thank you and show your appreciation. All that complaining is of the devil. All of it. It should never come out of a Christian's tongue. A Christian should never speak those ugly complaints. If your husband can't do what the couple across the street's doing, thank him for what he can do. If your wife can't cook like the neighbor's wife, thank her for what she can do. Build your spouse up. Work with people, just like Jesus worked with us when we are crazy. Sometimes we're just crazy, and the Lord works with us. Why can't we do unto others as we want things to be done to us? Better than that, why won't we love others like Jesus loved us? Not just when everything's going good, but when things are going haywire. A lot of people also are hurt. Hurt people hurt other people. They learn to cope with it, and they hurt other people. And they never stop. You have to stop that process. Otherwise, you'll bring other people's bad marriage into your marriage and make it bad. You'll bring other people's bad ideas into your home and complain. And then you attract friends that's doing the same thing. People that's wise and progressive, you know, they won't even, I noticed that too. People don't relate to people that's wise and progressive when they are used to being down and out. Unless they want out, unless they're trying to break through. They make friends with people that's worse than they are. Or when they're around people that's doing it the right way, they learn and they break through. Or they stop associating with them because their darkness is being, people don't like their darkness exposed. So when a church is progressive and going forward and people are doing the word of God, people that refuse to go forward, they find something to nitpick about and they leave and find somewhere where everything's haywire. Like they use it so they won't seem so bad. I know that sounds crazy, but I can't help what I see. And I've seen it more than I want to. The devil's slick, folks. I ministered to a lady, her husband working two jobs. She at home bored. And she told me that she was thinking about leaving him. I said, what's wrong? I said, he loves you, don't he? Yeah. He works two jobs. Yeah. But he ain't never there. I said, he's trying to do for y'all, right? Yeah. I said, all you have to do is study the word of God and get God's insights. You got a good situation. Build him up. And you know what she said? And I said, every day, if you receive the word, this world is dirty. Every day when you study the word, it's like taking a bath. And it's like a cleansing process. And the Lord's going to show you greater options that you already got. I was talking that way. She said, you know what? I learned more talking to you in 15 minutes than I did going to church for 3 months. And this is why my eyebrows went up. The Lord told me a few years before that, he said, I can use you to teach people in 15 minutes what they'll take them 3 months in church to learn. Now, that's not something that, sometimes the Lord will tell you things. And I know God hates pride. And that's not something I would never say. Because I would rather for the church to do that job. And I've been to good churches. And she went to a good church. I know the pastor. But that's what she told me. And that was the first time I had heard something like that. But she said what God told me back in 94. Here it is, 99. That ain't it. That's not all. I was talking to a guy. He was a police. We used to work out at the same gym. And I was sharing with him for about 15 minutes. He said, man, I learned more talking to you in 15 minutes than I did going to church for 3 months. And all I could do is remember what God told me way back. It's true. All you got to do is yield to the Lord and he'll give you insights. People don't, they go through their lives thinking about what frustrating them more than what God is doing. We can't do this without the word. The word of God connects us to the mind of Jesus. It connects us to the heart of Jesus. It connects us to God. So when you're taking on what John said that the word became flesh. I said, now this was me when I first got saved. I said, I want to learn God's ways. So where do I start? I said, I read what the word, Jesus was the word. The word became flesh. I said, so I'll start there. What did he teach? What was his first sermon? What did he say first to man? He's the word of God. He became flesh. What's the first thing he taught? And that's Matthew chapter 5. He just beat the dog out of Satan in the wilderness. And then this is the first thing he said. He started with the Beatitudes. If you've been hurt, if you're weak, and if you're afraid, what he wrote in the Beatitudes will solve every problem you got. That's the way you live. It's not just the knowledge. If you live that, you're going to restructure everything you've been tearing down, and you're going to build up everything that's already strong. And you have to do it before it's too late, because negative words, they add up, and they add up, and they add up. They turn to emotions in others, in yourself. You're making a darker and darker cloud with your words and your actions of negativity every day. Now, first you got to get that dark cloud out of your life. You got to hate darkness. And see, this is a good marriage does the work of an evangelist and without preaching. You don't have to teach people when you're obviously living the Word of God. Your life is teaching them and instructing them. Your conversation, your healthy lifestyle. Faith can't be faked. You're not putting on an act like a Hollywood movie. And Hollywood is good at making movies. Man, they make some awesome movies. They got good writers and they got good actors. I just wish it was more positive. Whatever they make is awesome and off the charts. It does what it does, whether it's good or evil. And they're good at it. They make people do all kind of stuff. They play with your emotions because they're good at it. Now, how much more the Word of God in your life? I like to watch movies because they're good at what they do. It's an outlet. I love movies. I wish more Christian Holy Ghost filled people would write books and movies. And that's a ministry all by itself. There's so many preachers out there preaching, so many pastors. Why don't somebody, the Lord told me that some people are so bent on traditionalizing their ministries, but if they yield to the Holy Spirit, just do what he say do. Some of them are going to write books. Some of them are going to write novels. Some of them are going to write movies, songs. That God want to introduce into this realm. And it'll preach. It will minister to people. It will enhance what he's already doing. There'll be the operative that he needs. See, some people, they take time and they're students of the word. And they're creative. If they write movies and books and novels and they become mainstream, a lot of people are going to understand what they don't understand. The Lord told me this. He said a visual is much better, exponentially wise, than just preaching and telling people the Word of God. Illustrations stick longer than a message. Illustration trains people while preaching introduces people to God. Preaching will work. Illustrations work better in a multiply exponential way. Especially if it's done right, it's something that people will want to see. And the weakest people will learn to be strong if they had illustration. If I pastor the church, I'd get me a ministry team. Now, you can't go and tell people what to do. People run their business, their churches and businesses the way they want to. I said business, just like for illustration purposes. People run their business the way they see fit. And people run their church the way they see fit. But when you yield to the Holy Spirit, he'll introduce you to options that's greater. But if I pastored, I would do what God showed me a while back. I would find a lot of teenagers are good at this. They are natural. And they want to do something. They got thick, full of energy. I get me an illustration team. And I've seen a pastor do this before. Pastor Mike Moore did it. I visited his church and he had actors on the stage illustrating what he was preaching. Now, out of all the messages I heard, I can remember that. So when God gives you something and you see somebody doing it, you know, we have options. Sometimes we discount it all. You know, the Lord, that ain't what Brother Hagin did. Brother Hagin did what God gave him to do. We're building on what he have done. And I use Brother Hagin because I'm looking at him. I got an illustration on my wall with his picture on it. Look, if you take things to the next level, you're going to do things greater than what others have done. That doesn't take away from what they did. And guess what? He used illustrations. I saw one on YouTube. I saw more than one on YouTube. He did theatrical illustrations. And he got the point over real good. So everyday words, they add up. You can, just like James said, our tongue should not be like a fountain producing good water and bitter water. If you mix good and bitter water, the water's going to be bitter. So, what if you only spoke the things of life? And you were patient with your spouse. When they do good, recognize it. Some people are so hurt, they can't see when good comes. And they speak. Now, unless the husband is very, if he's like the Holy Spirit, he can win. He can learn to require nothing from her because she did. In her way, she just did. Do you stop loving him? No. Some people choose death in that way, and you got to see it for what it is. She's choosing death. I'm going to choose life, and I'm going to be a blessing to her if I can. And then the Holy Spirit will give you wisdom to deal with people that's more reluctant. And remember something. Sometimes people, they choose dead things, but that's a stage, just like a teenager. The teenager years, sometimes that's a dead spot. It was for me. I was dead to life. But one day, I got saved, and I became a better person. And if you, just like your people that did a lot of wrong, and they get saved, they're going to love God much. If you can deal with them while they're dead, either they're going to one day wake up and come to life, or they're going to leave your life. Don't fight your own battle. Let God deal with them. They might make it. And they are the person that you fell in love with enough to marry. So I don't give up on a person. Either their heart's going to soften, or God's going, or their heart's going to get harder to the point God will harden their heart and drive them out of your life. Now, I went through a divorce, and my strategy was always to build up. And everything I'm teaching, I've been through some things. But God don't give up on a person. Even if they divorce you and move on, God will, if they ever wake up, God will embrace them because he never stopped loving us. But God said he don't go against a person's will. When he taught me about faith, I was at a Benny Hinn crusade. Me and Pastor Jackson went. Before he came, we got there early, so before he came out, I was asking the Lord questions about faith, and he was telling me things, principles about faith. But this is what I remember. He was showing me there's no limits. He said, but when it comes to a person's will, that's where we get off the bus. When it comes down to a person's will, that's where we get off the bus. He don't make people believe him. He don't make people change. If they want it, they can use his word, and then he'll work with them by the Holy Ghost. But if they rebel against the Holy Ghost, he'll give them over to their own way, and they'll leave your life. And whatever is heartbreaking when that happens, but God will help you heal. And then whenever they wake up, he'll help them heal. Because he loves us. But he has to deal with the reality we choose. Don't forget that. Just because a person leaves your life at a stage in their life don't mean that you're a failure. And it don't mean that they're going to remain a failure. Jesus is the God of redemption. If they can be redeemed, they will be. But John said this, they left us to prove that they were never of us. Some people, they allow the hurt to consume them, or the fear, or the weakness. I know people that did that. A man told me he cheated on his wife, lost his marriage. It's a regret that he lives with. But he got to know the Lord after he made a mess of things. And he's faithful. He's a very faithful man. But he told me his story. So don't tell me that you can't build your life back after bad decisions and give other people room to do the same thing. But guess what? I learned this from the Lord. And I even gave a man this word. Don't require anything of anyone. Look to the Lord. Love people like he does and grow your life. You can't grow your life. You can't cause other people to grow against their will. They got to be willing. Everybody in the kingdom of God, they are there at their own will. They chose him. Just like your wife that married you. She chose you. Now, don't it feel good to be chosen? You know, you can coerce somebody to marry you if you want to, but it won't work right. They got to be just as in love with you. That's what, you know, just like John Wayne said, it either a good marriage, it either is or it ain't. Either it is or it ain't. I said, you know, there's a lot of truth in that. Why? Jesus said he looks for people that worship God. He told the lady at the well, the woman at the well, God is looking for people to worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, that's the kind of marriage that's going to be a blessing. It don't really matter what's missing, whether you are rich or poor. If you love each other in spirit and in truth, you can build from that. And I saw a couple the other day. They got a hold to a Kenneth Copeland tape. And the man, he went through some things, but he came back to balance and built a multi-million-dollar business. Started with a car wash, lost the car wash, and then God built him back up with principles that Kenneth Copeland taught. I said it last week. The faith message has caused so many people to become millionaires and billionaires. It's never, that wasn't done in the days of Paul. Yes, it was, but not like now. Not like now. More people are becoming millionaires because they heard and embraced the word of God. And also the opposite is true. Some people wouldn't receive. They're like the woman that tore her house down with her own hands. A negative disposition will kill everything that you love. It will destroy it. It will destroy a good home, a good marriage. And then you got shattered children that don't, you know, how are they going to come to balance with a mother that tore a house all to pieces? I mean, they saw the father hang in there and do good. God can work through him and help them come to balance. What Jesus taught, and I'll close with this because it's a two-parter. Wasn't able to finish it in one part today. But Jesus, what he taught, the Sermon on the Mount and the Sermon in the Plain, and what the address to the seven churches will keep us in balance. What he taught through the disciples will keep us in balance. The illustrations of Moses, Genesis, the prophets will bring us to balance. But what Jesus said will bring us to balance now. Right now, you make the adjustments, you start building your life immediately. The law of Moses, it takes longer. It'll work, but it takes longer. The prophets, it'll work too, but it takes longer. But if you do what Jesus said, now, it starts now. It starts right now. It can change your attitude today if you receive what he said and do it. The Sermon on the Mount, the address to the seven churches, it'll start. If you make the adjustment now, it starts now. Go back. If you've been doing wrong and you realize it, go back and call your husband, ex-husband, say, hey, I'm sorry for how I was. Even if y'all can't get back together, apologize. That's healthy. That'll help him. He may have moved on. Or if it's a man that did the wrong, she may have moved on, but apologize. And ask for forgiveness and go forward and build your life back. Don't let the devils harass you with the past anymore. And build your life. You want to live a life that God can bless. If you know you did wrong, apologize. Make things right with people. Don't harass people. If you were wrong, admit it. That's a healthy start. But don't go duplicate it. Some people, they tear up two or three marriages before they get it straight. And they leave a wake of mess behind them. But start doing right. Now, to those who are not divorced yet, you know what to do. Hear the word, believe the word, and make the adjustments. And do it in God's strength. Do it like Paul was writing about. Get a firm revelation of what Paul wrote about in chapter 7 and 8. That's how you're going to understand yourself. First, you got to want to please God. It's got to be important to you. Start with the Sermon on the Mount or the Sermon on the Plain that Jesus taught. And then build your life. Read Romans 7 and 8 together as one chapter. Because life in the Spirit is how you solve the problem. I've been there and done that. I know what I'm talking about. Life in the spirit will solve the problem. Whether you're the positive and she's the negative, or you're the positive and he's the negative, work with people. It ain't over yet. People can make adjustments. The Lord told me this, and I close with this. I've been trying to close, but I close with this one. The Lord said that humans have more influence on humans. People have more influence on people than angels or demons. If an angel appear to a person, a human has more influence than an angel or demons. Now, angels are not going to be there for a moment, and then what they got to say is done. But humans have more influence on humans than angels or demons. And demons give you fiery dark thoughts that you really don't want anyway. But angels give you that vitamin B boost. But humans have more influence on humans than angels or demons. Remember something. Satan may use fiery darts, but he has to destabilize a human to aggravate another one. And it takes a long process of time. But when you live by the word of God, you supersede everything the devil's doing. And you can shut down the darkness in others. You just can't make them do what they're supposed to. When people are negative around you, tell Satan he can't work. Every time they speak, say that's a lie. You don't have to tell them that. But speak it. That's wrong. That's wrong knowledge. I won't receive it. And shut it down in Jesus' name. And sometimes, by the Holy Spirit, you'll know to do it out loud. So they can hear it. Say, nope, that's of Satan. I don't believe it and I won't receive it in Jesus' name. And whatever you do, do it in the spirit of love. God will give you wisdom to deal with people when they're in their contrary stage. It's just a stage. And you want the best for people. You want your wife to love and know God just like you want the sinners around you to love and know God. God is full of redemption. They're not even God can change things. When they're ready, he'll change. If they don't want him to change, then you can't force it. And that's the message of the day. But words, they add up. Good and bad. Or good or bad. Consider these things. Take it to the heart in prayer and make change all around you using the word of God. I thank the Lord for what he's doing. And Lord, I thank you for using me like a tool in your hand. And bless everybody who hear these words, who have ears to hear. And remember, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus Christ is our Lord. And this will be on two broadcasts, and I'm going to use fast mode.